Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson and anywhere fine podcasts are available in audio form. That's right. Go ahead and hit that subscribe or download button either here on the YouTube or on the podcast app. And it really helps boost the profile of the show. And of course, reminds you whenever there's new Going In Raw content. That's what that little notify bell is for. On the YouTube, Larson. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. We have a wealth of reward tiers where you can help support the show, and in return, you get stuff. Like, for example, today, all of our $1 and up per month patrons have the ability to watch this particular live stream live, as it happens, as a live stream, I should say.
Yes.
Listen to us banter before the show. And we have our little post show. And then, of course, those $1 patrons, I think, will also have access to non-news this week at the $1 mark. We'll give them the once a month, you get non-news if you're a $1 patron.
Cool.
Maybe you'll watch non-news and be so impressed. Dami Ray in our chat yesterday said non-news is Dami Ray's favorite 10 minutes of programming on internet every week.
Yeah?
And it's all just non-news. It's all just news. It doesn't matter. This is non-news. You know, we give, if you're paying us, if you're giving us financial support, then we'll give you the stuff that doesn't matter. That makes sense.
Yeah, also, I guess so.
Also available on the Pro Wrestling Tees, man. We've got three new designs up at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We've got, for one thing, we've got our stretch shirt. We've got the shocked Steve face. It's kind of like that. And it's on pink. It's on pink. It's on green, and it's on black. You actually have, there's a drop-down menu. It just shows pink on the homepage, but it's a drop-down menu. You got all three of them. And then, of course, there's the fantastic Larson Libre logo shirt on green. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and Club Haas is coming soon.
On its way, absolutely. A lot of fun. Also, programming note, next Monday, the return of W Steve W, our 2K, WWE 2K17 series, will be on twitch.tv/ Steve and Larson live. We'll be live streaming there. Be sure to check that. It is going to be up on the YouTube later on in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So for all you people who like aren't into the Twitch thing, it's going to go up on YouTube as video on demand there too.
Just the streaming aspect will be on Twitch, not YouTube.
Yeah, I just think, like, in my experience, the Twitch thing has just had a superior streaming option. And so I want to see what, like, how much of our audience would migrate over there. We've been getting good numbers on our live streams, like 300-400 people watching.
Yeah.
At a time, I want to see if we can bring that over to Twitch. I like high quality visuals, Larson.
This tripod on the table is driving me crazy.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I keep hitting it with my foot.
Is it better?
Yes, thank you.
It should be out of your foot range now. Anyways, fun stuff. Let's talk about SmackDown.
Yeah,
holy crap. Wowie wow, right?
I'm gonna pitch a conspiracy theory to you, one I'm not sure I entirely believe, but I'm going to run it by you anyways.
Let's hear it.
Do you think it's possible that WWE is hampering the quality of their pay-per-views or doing things that create controversy strictly to improve the ratings of SmackDown?
I don't believe that they would intentionally make a crap product in any of their endeavors. I think that, you know, sometimes creative might be there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Well, I'll
but the controversy thing.
Let me walk that back a couple steps. Maybe not. I feel like right now, unless it's a major four pay per view, a lot of their pay per views exist to get talk starting on the internet. People will tune into the cable shows. That's what it feels like.
That could be. I think
whether that be controversial finishes. Sorry to interrupt you again. Weird finishes like the AJ Owens match. We've been hearing different things, whether it's a botch, not a botch, finish changed middle of the match, before the match, during the show, so on and so forth. Just all these little things. And maybe it's just the fact that they realize they pick up on things when they happen, whether they were intentional or not, such as the finish to the AJ Owens match at Battleground, and then capitalize on it.
There still is not a definitive answer on if that was a botch or if it was. So according to, I believe, Wade Keller, backstage was a mess afterwards and it was a botch. But then according to like other sources, it wasn't. So yeah. I'm not sure we're ever going to get the real answer on that. I think only three people. Well, I'm more than three people. Like, you know, Vince probably obviously knows, you know.
Five or six.
Yeah, five or six people.
You have AJ Owens, exactly. The ref, you'd think.
Yeah, the ref
Vince,
knows.
The producer, whoever booked that match, and maybe Triple H.
In honor of our upcoming WCW Halloween Havoc 1991 pay-per-view review on Sunday, I put Richard Morton from the York Foundation.
I have Terry Taylor.
Whoa! I didn't even notice that.
I put him on there a couple days ago.
Yeah, I forgot. I didn't realize that while I was doing this one. They fought each other.
But anyways, they didn't fight each other.
No, they're both in New York for now.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't necessarily know if that's a conspiracy theory I believe in. I don't think I do.
Here's one aspect of that conspiracy theory that I think could be true or just puzzles me. So Shinsuke versus Baron Corbin, this has happened a couple times where the rematch on free TV, on cable TV, will be simply put better than what we get on the pay-per-view. Yeah. That boggles my mind.
Same thing happened with Nakamura and Dolph.
Their match
at Backlash was so-so, and then they had a rematch either the following SmackDown, the week after that, and it was vastly better.
Dude, there were three bear... When your match features... I say three, and I know it's... I think it was two.
Two bear hugs.
Two extended bear hugs. This wasn't like, oh, he's got him up there, and then it's, oh, he's got him up there. 3 hours later. Oh, he's still up there. Two extended bear hugs and a low-blow DQ finish... on a pay-per-view, and then you're like, okay, now you guys put on like a really decent match.
Yeah, a clean finish.
With a clean finish.
Which I was expecting to happen at SummerSlam, not at SmackDown.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it sounds like we're bitching. This is just a weird way of saying SmackDown was really good in sharp contrast to Battleground, which was not really good, which was entertaining for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like potentially, maybe, I don't know, pay-per-views, at least the non-major four pay-per-views, exist as promotional tools for their cable shows.
Yeah, which is odd. Like, they should, you know, the cable show should exist as a promotional tool for the WWE Network, including the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I would, my thing is this. I would suspect that any conspiracy theory, you know, would probably be silly in light of what we kind of know about, I'm not going to say haphazard, but either the AJ, you know, we've heard that the AJ Kevin Owens finish or match was, the finish was changed during the match. We've heard that as a possibility. And then we've heard the possibility of a botch.
Well, I've heard that it was changed during the match. It was changed during the show, which I guess would include during the match, but like right before the match.
I just think that decisions. I think that decisions are made so in like the idea that a decision can be made and everybody knows that things can change on a whim at any time probably makes it very decent to make to put together a coherent show.
Yeah.
On every single time out.
I know.
And so we can look for deeper answers. I simply think it's a matter of there's no distinct long-term planning.
There's no vision.
There's no real vision there. There isn't this guy, and this storyline is going to play out in this manner. I still honestly don't even think that they know that it's for sure. I think maybe the Luke Harper, Eric Rowan being the guys for Fashion Police might have been a thing. And then I don't think that's solid anymore. Maybe they had an idea for something, but then word came down that they're going to do another shakeup after SummerSlam. So they pulled whoever was supposed to be off the docket for the Fashion Police to fight with. I think that there's so many moving things, and Vince seems to change his mind quite a bit about things that it's difficult to put on something that's really solid. You know,
yeah.
I honestly think this. I think everybody does the best job they can.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I do. And I'm not making excuses for a crap pay-per-view, I just think that, you know, the it is oddball booking when he has people losing in their hometowns all the time. That's oddball booking.
Yeah, it is.
It's oddball booking to have, you know, two bear hugs and a low blow DQ match on a pay-per-view and then have turn around and say, okay, go ahead and have a good match.
2 days later.
2 days later.
On cable television.
It's oddball booking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there it is. I honestly just think that the way day-to-day operations are run, creatively speaking, in the WWE, I just think there's a lot of stuff happening on the fly. I think there's a lot of decisions, a lot of changes that are made, and I think that's on Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's the only thing I can think, and that's why there's a level of inconsistency that we then look for answers to those inconsistencies where they may not exist. Maybe they do exist. Maybe there is something in Vince's head that says, you know, we really want to boost ratings. Let's do some wonky stuff over here and then put some good stuff on here.
Conversation, and so people want to tune in to see how.
And then when people tune in, they see, oh, wow, this is a good product.
Out. Yeah. I don't know.
It's the only thing I can think. I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
The show did open with Kevin Owens coming out and dropping a promo. You know, he lost his United States. No, I'm sorry. He won the United States title at Battleground, shockingly. Then AJ Styles comes down. So did he call out AJ Styles or AJ Styles just came out?
AJ just came out.
I missed the very beginning.
AJ just came out and you know, more or less said, I want my rematch.
Yeah.
I want another
shot. And Kevin Owens said, look, man, you lost.
Oh, during Owens, he says he's going to start up the U.S. Open Challenge again.
Okay.
Just not tonight.
Oh, okay.
Then AJ comes out.
All right. So I just missed like the very open because I think we were wrapping up.
Yeah,
we're wrapping up.
Yeah, we went a little late fun wrestling yesterday.
And then, shockingly, Chris Jericho came out.
Yeah, no word leaked of him returning.
Whoa, he's really good at that. I noticed in his biographies, I've got like his second or third one, I think, sitting on my next to my toilet.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about when he was returning to the Royal Rumble 2008. Or 2009, he did his best. Like, he outlined exactly what he did to keep it hush-hush. I would imagine today, 8 years later, it's probably even more difficult to do that. But he did it. There was no leak in advance. That was awesome. He comes down and he said, you know, I was carried out on a stretcher last time you saw me. You took my title from me. I never got my rematch, and I'm here for that. AJ Styles says, you know what? It's my rematch time. And Chris Jericho said, you know what you do when you cut in line, AJ Styles? He says, I was at the grocery store the other day, and a guy cut in front of me in line. You know what happened to him? And AJ Styles said, what, you put him on the list? He said, no, I punched him in the mouth and put him in the line in the walls of Jericho in aisle 7. He says, but, and then he proceeded to put AJ Styles on the list. Everybody popped for that. As they were doing their thing, Kevin Owens started to leave.
Yeah.
He just took off, and as he was heading up the ramp, they finished up their little bit. Jericho called out Owens, said, hold on a second, where do you think you're going? Owens says, I'm done with this. As he's leaving, Shane McMahon's music hits. He comes down, says, hold on a second, Owens, don't go anywhere. Tonight, in our main event, we're going to get AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens for the United States title.
Yes.
We can speculate all day long about, well, I mean, and we might find out, somebody might break exactly the sequence of events that happened. Was Jericho brought in to help fix the botch?
Or was the finish of the match changed because they got late word that Jericho would be able to make SmackDown 2 days later?
Right, exactly. I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could easily see them saying, man, we need that belt back on AJ. This was a botch. Can we call in like somebody who's got an idea? Jericho's touring nearby or some shit like that. Let's see if he can do us a one-time solid.
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea. I mean, did you look this morning? Is there any word? Is he going to be sticking around?
I haven't heard anything, but I would be shocked if he doesn't stick around till SummerSlam.
Right. I would think so. Yeah. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, you know, Kevin Owens like laid him out again. He wasn't carried on a stretcher. So it kind of makes sense for him to stick around.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
I would be surprised if we see Jericho versus Owens again at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Would not be surprised at all.
So, so that was made for the main event. But after that, we had Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin in a rematch from their Battleground match.
Yes.
Like we already mentioned in the intro.
A much better match than what we saw at Battleground, a clean finish.
This was a good match. This was a solid match. This was a good back and forth, very physical match, a very brutal match. Nakamura ended up going over with the Kinshasa clean. This echoes what we've sort of talked about in the past, point you brought up. If you're Mr. Money in the Bank, you can eat losses because you always have that briefcase. Mm-hmm. You can always cash that thing in.
Yep.
Next up, we had an interview with Naomi that was interrupted by Natalia. Naomi laid into Natalia verbally. My goodness. She was saying, you know, you're only getting by on your legacy. This isn't the dungeon around here. She was dropping all sorts of Bret Hart or Hart family references.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
Yeah. And then after that concluded, Carmella came in with the Money in the Bank briefcase and said, hey, remember me?
Yeah, I still have this. I'm watching you.
And she was wearing a free James Ellsworth shirt.
Okay. I didn't notice that. That's good.
Well, it was just his normal shirt with free.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Oh, I love that. That's good. I like that.
Next, Charlotte and Becky Lynch took on Tamina and Lana.
Yeah.
Another match that I thought might happen during the SummerSlam pre-show.
Boy, that crowd was giving it to... oh, that's right. You just called that the other day.
Yeah.
Crowd was giving it to Lana. You can't wrestle. Who can disagree with that? Because it's just plain... The more we see of her, it's just plainly obvious.
I know.
That, man. And the thing is, I get... I'm not sure that... All the time in the world in NXT is really going to change much. I mean, what is she going to go from a crap wrestler to like a below average wrestler?
I know.
That's kind of her ceiling.
I know.
So this is what we have with Lana. There are plenty of other decent wrestlers on the roster to make up for it. They're doing, I think they're doing something akin to the Eva Marie thing.
Yes.
With her. I mean, it's obviously different. It's not the whole wardrobe malfunction thing. But I think it's maybe we're going to see... possibly what they had planned for Eva Marie. I don't know. I mean, I think they understand that regardless of Lana's wrestling skills, they're going to be able to make money with, I mean, honestly, her sex appeal. You know, that's sort of her thing. People really like Lana. It's just, I wonder how much of her luster is going to rub off with the fact that she can't wrestle, and that's going to be standing out over, you know, what people have been used to, which is, you know, I mean, we really loved Lana. I mean, I really like Lana.
Yeah.
We really loved Lana when she was, you know, originally with Rusev.
Oh, yeah, that was great. The dynamic was so different than most
managers. Yeah, it really was, yeah.
Client
she was the one who had sort of the keys.
Yeah, she had the power.
Rusev. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Charlotte ends up going over with a nasty boot.
Yeah, to Lana, got the pin. Yeah. Afterwards, Tamina was very upset because Lana... tagged herself in.
Yeah.
And then promptly ate the boot.
Yeah.
So Tamina was upset, started walking up the ramp and motioned to Lana to essentially get backstage.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see where that goes. I'm not sure. I mean, there was no hint that like Charlotte and Becky Lynch are going to get into it. I'm not sure where this is going to head for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I don't know either.
There's, what did I say? There's like four, maybe five shows between now and SummerSlam?
There is. Maybe just three.
Really? Yeah, because we're less than a month out.
Yeah, there's three left.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going to go with this.
I have no idea either.
Are we just, is this going to be like 3 weeks of Tamina training Lana to rematch this at SummerSlam?
Maybe.
I can maybe see that. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm going to keep us guessing.
Well, let's talk about this next segment because this brings up a lot of interesting potentially scenarios, but it also kind of puts WWE in a bit of a bind.
Oh, this is a pickle for sure.
Yeah, so
they've
Jinder Mahal.
Themselves into a hole here.
Yes, Jinder Mahal comes out and says, you know, I've beat Randy Orton, done with him. I need competition for SummerSlam. I demand an opponent.
You know what I demand? That Jinder enjoy some tea with some honey before he comes out because his voice, it's always quiet. Like, you can tell he's putting a lot of force into it. I smell Randy Orton. Randy Orton at Battleground. Randy Orton, you know?
Yeah.
You need to speak up a little bit, man.
So John Cena comes out and actually appreciated the fact that he didn't go back to the USA stuff.
Oh, thank God for that.
I know. He came out and said, you know, congratulations, good job.
Congratulate you.
You did what you need to do to hold on to that title.
Yeah.
And they also said, but I'm going to warn you now, I'm coming after that belt.
You know what
he's going to break Ric Flair's record at SummerSlam.
This is an extreme tangent. You know what I was reminded of the other day? I don't know where I saw it. Maybe it was in a package for the match. No, it was like a documentary on John Cena that I don't know where I saw it. I saw an old promo of John Cena's.
Yeah.
From OVW.
Oh.
And he did the thing. Do you remember when he did the thing? He would talk and he'd say, "Let me back that up." And he would talk backwards.
Oh no.
It is A, hilarious, and B, disturbingly well done.
Wow.
He can do the acting like he's backwards talking thing really, really well. I was looking for it this morning on my video. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Huh.
But I'll find it for you and show you because it's absolutely hilarious. Anyways, I was just watching that promo last night. I was like, I really wish you'd do the backwards talking thing again. But I don't think it's going to happen. Anyways, yeah, John Cena comes out and he says, "I'm here to congratulate you. You've worked hard. You look amazing. You're in the best shape of your life. And you understand that you have to do anything."
He puts gender over.
"By any means necessary."
Yeah.
"You won that thing, so exactly, put him over." He says, "However, we've never been properly introduced. My name is John Cena," and that gender starts getting pissed off about that.
He says, "I know who you are."
Yeah. And John Cena does really come off like he's having fun.
Yeah. He referenced Super Cena last night.
Yeah, he said "You're facing Super Cena."
Yeah.
And so I don't know, it was very light. It was, you know, because he knows, he's like, "Yeah, I'm totally winning that thing at SummerSlam."
Yeah. So he starts to walk. Cena starts to get out of the ring, walk backstage. Daniel Bryan comes out.
Well, okay, hold on. Let's back up. There's just a weird thing, though, because Jinder, he was saying, I want a challenger at SummerSlam. But he didn't originally say John Cena. But then he said, "I'm going to speak to my people in my language of Punjabi." And he said the name John Cena.
Oh.
So maybe that was, and then somebody, I was like, wait, did I hear that right? Or did he already call us? And then somebody mentioned it on Twitter too.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, yeah, that is kind of oddball. But anyways. So yeah, then Daniel Bryan comes down because John Cena essentially just booked himself into a title match at SummerSlam. Yeah. And he says, "Hold on a second, John. Hold on a second, brother-in-law.
You don't make matches."
Yeah. "Me and Shane make matches."
Yeah.
And he says,
"And everybody has to earn their opportunity here on SmackDown Live TV.
Even if your name is John Cena." And Cena starts saying, "Yeah, who do you want me to beat?"
Yeah, he's like, "I'll do what it takes.
I'll book myself to beat them. It's okay."
Yes, Super Cena's here.
But here's the problem. Daniel Bryan set the match to be John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the number one contendership.
Now, all reports and rumors seem to indicate that the match at SummerSlam will be Cena versus Mahal.
Yes, correct.
But Nakamura is not going to take a clean loss.
No, he's
which
not.
Which means Baron Corbin has to cost Nakamura the match.
Which probably means we're going to get Nakamura versus Baron Corbin
at SummerSlam
again. Which could lead to what your original
Where
scenario
Nakamura
was.
Nakamura wins again, clean. Then Corbin cashes in to end the show, or during that show, during that match.
Right before the Universal title match.
Yeah. Well, they'll probably have a match in between.
Yeah. Right before the filler match. Right before, I don't know. Naomi versus Natalia? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to see Nakamura versus Corbin at SummerSlam? I feel like that's below Nakamura.
I would rather see Nakamura versus AJ for the U.S. title or Nakamura versus Mahal for the WWE title, assuming Nakamura wins or Corbin gets involved before the finish of the match and cashes in and wins the belt.
Yeah.
Say it's Nakamura Mahal for the title. And then same scenario I've been saying for a while with Cena and Mahal, where Corbin comes out and cashes in before the finish of the match.
Be interesting to see if Jericho comes back next week. Because if he was just there for a one-off deal, that would be really odd. But also would lead me to believe we're going to get AJ versus Kevin Owens again at SummerSlam. That's just, that feud is going to keep on going. We're actually going to get
They're having
the
rematch next week. And assuming there's a clean... If there's a clean finish next week, that feud's done.
You think,
I
right?
I think so.
Yeah. But then that leaves 2 weeks until SummerSlam.
Oh, I know.
This feud has to go to SummerSlam. It has to.
So I'm looking at Fozzy's website. They don't have any other tour dates till mid-September.
Oh, okay, so we could totally stick
around. So he's going to stick around through SummerSlam.
Are we thinking there might be another triple threat at SummerSlam?
No, I don't think so.
You don't. Why not? What's Jericho going to do?
Wrestle Kevin Owens.
Well, then what's AJ going to do?
Take on Cena.
Cena?
Yeah, they've already laid the groundwork for that.
What's Mahal going to do?
Take on Nakamura.
What's Baron Corbin going to do?
Cash in during that match.
Before that, okay, so he's just not going to have a match beforehand?
Well, he's going to insert himself into that match, and it'll be a triple threat then.
Yeah, I like all the other scenarios we talked about before. I think we're going to get another triple threat with Jericho. I mean, if Jericho's going to stick around, the AJ, there's 3 weeks before SummerSlam. They're not going to have AJ versus Cena at SummerSlam with 3 weeks left.
Sure, you could announce that match the show before SummerSlam.
You can do that. They're not going to do that, though.
Because
do you actually believe what you're saying right now, or are you just...
No, I think it's a plausible scenario.
Yeah, I don't know, man. When all things are when everything looks, it looks too obvious to do Cena versus Mahal. Like that's going to be the match. Baron Corbin is going to interfere in the number one contendership match. Corbin versus Nakamura. No. Then he's going to. That's all
that
plainly
seems plausible,
obvious.
I know.
But the question is then, what is and the Kevin Owens AJ Styles thing is really really hot right now. They can that's definitely carrying
well,
over.
As I said, we'll see what happens on SmackDown next week. If it's a clean finish, AJ wins clean. I don't see a reason for that feud to continue.
Well, yeah, they can just make it. They'll just keep it going.
Unless they do AJ Jericho at SummerSlam because Jericho never got his one-on-one U.S. title
then
rematch.
What would Kevin Owens do? I'm telling you, it's either going to be AJ versus Kevin Owens or it's going to be a triple threat. It's going to be what we saw last night, which was a fantastic match.
Yeah, it was a good match, but I don't want to have this show like replay to SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be. I'm sorry. I think it's going to be That's going to be the case, rather.
Because there's really no point in watching SummerSlam apart from two matches.
Nah, man, it's going to be fun. We're going to get some popcorn. We're going to get some pizza. It'll be fun. It'll be a cheat day for us. Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens were backstage after that.
Yeah, Kevin Owens was complaining about A, having to wrestle, B, having that match be a triple threat match. He says, Shane, you don't like me. Here's what they could do. We heard rumors it would be Rusev versus Shane. Shane versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. That'd be fine. Then what, AJ versus Jericho?
Because, because Owens got in Shane's face and said essentially that he would beat him up if he weren't commissioner.
Yeah, Rusev wasn't there last night, huh?
Nope.
I could see Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. That'd be interesting. Again, like you said, I mean, look, we're going to next week's SmackDown, not knowing how things are going to shake out. You just laid out a completely different scenario that, yes, is plausible. So it could go that way. It could go the way we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It could go. I mean, that's why we tune in.
Odds that WWE knows what's going to happen.
Oh, God. Zero.
Low.
Next, Sami Zayn, Ty Dillinger took on Mike Kanellis and Aiden English. I like Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger as a tag team.
Me too. Do you think that's going to stick as a tag team?
Probably not, but I like it.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
The tag division needs more teams.
It does, and
they're
nothing
low on
to do.
Teams.
Here's my main beef with this match. Why didn't they have Ty Dillinger go over Aiden English to make up for the loss on Battleground?
I thought the exact same thing.
It seems so plainly obvious. That's what you're supposed to do here.
I know.
People love Ty Dillinger.
I know.
They really do. I mean, I give him shit out of love. Or out of here's my thing about Ty Dillinger. The absurdity of how they treat Ty Dillinger leads me to joke about him. Mm. My whole who joke was simply an absurdist take on what they're doing with Ty Dillinger. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
When he comes out, he is so well developed. The people so love him.
Yeah.
And yet they don't have anything for him.
Nothing.
Last night, really, 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 we should have seen. Although the commentary team did use the word, they used the phrase, I don't know, they didn't call them a tag team, but they referenced them tagging together and it working really well.
Yeah, also they...
So it wouldn't surprise
me. They referenced Ty's early days in NXT, more or less saying, you know, the expectation was for him to be nothing more than mediocre.
Right.
And how he managed to be more than that.
Yeah.
In NXT, at least.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was a good...
Decent match. They make a good team. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll continue. Sami Zayn picked up the win. Pinning Mike Kanellis after another Huluva kick.
Yes. Yeah. So, again, that was kind of a replay of what we saw at Battleground in terms of that sequence. However, I really would have liked to see Ty. Of course,
yeah, I thought the same exact thing.
Aiden English got a good segment of singing before that, though.
Yeah.
Belted out a tune there. It cracks me up people booing him because I'm like, man, he can really sing.
He can sing okay. He can hold a tune. He's got a good voice. I don't know how much range he has, though.
Oh, I'm just saying, out of everybody on the roster, like, it's a pleasant voice.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Although I don't know, man, I kind of prefer the Drifter.
Oh yeah,
I just like it because he runs. He always finds the most clever and least clever ways to run down towns.
See, Aiden English always sings about himself and how great he is, whereas the Drifter just runs down whatever city he's in.
The fact that he would call the music in Nashville awful is fucking brilliant. It's so great. It's Nashville. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Here.
Next, they were teasing a New Day celebration. Went to commercial. Comes back.
They got attacked.
Yeah, as soon as Big E was in his intro.
Yeah.
Before the music hits, and mid-sentence, they were attacked by the Usos. They fought out to the ramp.
Yeah.
So it's plainly obvious we're getting New Day versus the Usos at SummerSlam, and that's going to be great.
I am so happy about that, man. I am so happy about that. That is fantastic. Next up, we had a very brief Shinsuke Nakamura interview. They said, what do you think about taking on John Cena next week for the number one contendership? And he says, John Cena won't be able to see me.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then we had our main event.
Good match.
Yeah. No, this is a fantastic match. Chris Jericho versus AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. Some good stuff going on here. And it had I really loved the finish as well. We had Owens hitting Jericho with a pop-up powerbomb.
Yeah, that's how the match ended. Jericho kicks out, so Owens goes straight to the top rope, hits a frog splash, goes for the pin. Styles grabs Owens.
Very quickly, understanding the nature of the pin.
Throws him out of the ring, pins Jericho and wins. He's a new U.S. champion.
Yep. You got a little bloody mouth, too.
Yeah. After the match, Kevin Owens grabs a mic after he tears up the announce desk.
Oh, he was hot.
Throws some chairs around. Calls pretty much everybody idiots,
mm-hmm.
and then demands a rematch next week for the U.S. title.
Yeah. So Jericho never got his one-on-one rematch.
Yes.
So that's going to be I don't know. I mean, I don't see if Jericho is going to be around, I don't see how, and I know I understand your reservation. I'm just like looking ahead. I don't see how they couldn't do, or I don't see how they
could
do.
No, they could do another triple threat because Jericho got screwed out of his win. Yeah, I get that. I get that totally.
And I mean, here's the thing. I want to see that. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I can't believe you'd hesitate on that. All these guys can put on a really good match.
No, I know.
And on the stage of SummerSlam, you don't think they would?
No, I know they'd put on a good match. It just feels like it was the same match we saw just 3 weeks prior.
No,
I know we've seen Jericho Owens at least 5 times. I realize that too.
Yeah.
But at least that would give Styles potentially an opportunity. I know we've seen Styles seen a million times too. I mean, regardless of what the matches turn out to be, it's going to be something we've seen before.
Yeah, there's only so many combinations you can have.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. I totally get your point. We had this, and we're probably going to get it again. I'm okay. I would actually be totally fine with Styles versus AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens. Something wonky happening next week. But I don't know. I mean, it's keeping us in it. It's keeping us intrigued, at least. So, we're going to go to questions now.
Yes.
On the Patreon. Let's take a look here. Okay, so we have a first-time patron question asker guy here. And the name is The Wrestling With My Brother Podcast. Sounds like they actually have their own podcast. I think they talk about it a little bit here. He says, I got to meet you guys in Orlando at the Wrestling With Regret show over Mania weekend, the Internet Darling show. And you guys inspired me to start a wrestling podcast with my brother, who is not a current era wrestling fan. Nice. Good job. I hope it goes good for you. He says, we've been trying to do uploads at least once a week, but with him not being a hardcore fan, it's hard to get the commitment on his end to do the show. One, do you have any advice on starting out? So, one, what would be your advice on starting out?
Just, I always say consistency.
Yes.
Consistent quality, consistent schedule.
Yeah.
Those are the two most important
things. Get a decent mic.
Yeah, get a decent mic. You have to spend a fortune. You can get a snowball for about $100, maybe less than that these days.
Oh, yeah, it's like $50, and it's like $49.99 now.
There you go. And, you know, just find a recording routine that works.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be expert quality, but make it listenable.
Yep.
Decent audio. People can understand what you're saying.
Yep.
And once you got that down, adhere to a schedule. Mm-hmm. Be consistent with your schedule.
Yeah, exactly. I would suggest, so one thing that I would love to do, but is just simply not feasible for us, is I mentioned, I think in the pre-show, because you're going to be gone for vacation, the prospect of me doing it solo, I said, you know, I've been watching our friend Pulse,
mm-hmm.
JD from NY,
mm-hmm.
solo guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but one benefit of being a solo artist, Brian Zane also,
mm-hmm.
Is that as soon as Raw's over, you can start mm-hmm. recording that sumbitch immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that really does, like the urgency of that does actually help the numbers. So in terms of getting to the audience, timeliness is a lot of things. Like back in the day, going in Raw was... we would do a weekly podcast, and we would do it on like Thursday or something.
And, yeah, the idea of the show was that we'd recap the previous Raw to prepare you to go into the next Raw.
Right, exactly. But it didn't really, it wasn't a very timely show.
No.
And as soon as we started doing it on Tuesdays, numbers went up.
Yep.
He also says, what would you guys suggest be the best matches or angles prior to WrestleMania 33 to show him to pique his interest? Some of the better, I would say Jericho versus HBK from back in 2009.
Yeah,
that's a good angle to go with.
A recent one, DIY Revival.
That's a good one.
In NXT, more recently.
Well, he's saying prior to Mania 33.
So yeah, that's just
like
the last
recent,
one.
Recent, yeah.
Well, Mania 33 was just the last one.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to think of stuff within the last. Oh, Charlotte versus Sasha Banks. Decent feud.
Good stuff.
Good feud. Yeah. A lot of good matches.
Good stuff. John Cena versus CM Punk.
Yeah. Paul Iannotta. Do you think WWE needs a summer tournament similar to the G1 so pay-per-views between Mania and SummerSlam actually mean something? I think they should run the King of the Ring similar to the G1 where the winner gets a title shot at SummerSlam. What do you guys think? Thanks, friendos.
I am a fan of any tournament.
Yes.
We both love tournament
formats. Tournaments
are
great.
Yeah.
King of the Ring should make a return. I guess I'd heard or read that their only hesitations about doing something like that is since they already have Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
They already have the Royal Rumble, which guarantees the winners a title shot. They didn't want to do it again, especially
also,
with Money
yeah.
in the Bank happening in June.
And they also have the network tournaments that they do. They did
yeah.
the Cruiserweight Classic, UK tournament, now the Women's Mae Young Classic.
Yes.
So maybe they don't want to sort of...
But I agree. King of the Ring should be a thing.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
All right. I will go back to my original idea for the Universal title.
Mm-hmm.
Have a tournament, tournament the first one. Have another tournament, determine who faces the champions, defend it only one time a year at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Main event of WrestleMania.
I like that. It's good. That's the main event. Oh, goodness. CM Punk finds it insulting. What if that guy gets, like, super cold, like, around Money in the Bank?
Injury angle.
Injury angle. Okay, because it's hot whenever you come back.
Yeah.
I like it. Forward thinking. CM Punk finds it insulting, says, when Kenny Omega comes to WWE, do you think the higher-ups will get behind him as the top guy in the company, or will they stick with Roman? I don't want Kenny Omega to come to the WWE.
I don't either.
I just love him so much in New Japan. I love New Japan so much. Look, I love the WWE. They do something very specific, and New Japan does something very specific.
Yes.
And you can love both, and you don't have to pick and choose.
Yes.
But he fits so perfectly with what they're doing in New Japan. I watched this morning Kenny Omega versus Yano in the G1 from the 25th. So it wouldn't have been last night. It would have been the night before. And it's a 10-minute match. And it is the perfect gateway match for pro wrestling. It's a comedy match. It is amazing. It is hilarious. And it features your favorite finish, a count-out finish. Would they get behind him as the top guy? I could see them getting behind him in the same way they got behind AJ Styles
yeah.
as a top guy for sure.
Yeah, but probably not the top guy.
I mean, if you think about it, they do have some top. I mean, they obviously want Roman to be their next John Cena. I do think that, you know, him including him in the Fatal 4-Way thing, I think they're still going to try to figure out how to get him as a Universal Champion. They're still going to figure out how to try to get him to be top face. But I don't know. He's been acting so arrogant lately.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they... Maybe they don't think that's realistic anymore. Maybe they are cooling on him. I don't know.
I don't know.
Again, the decision-making solo over the map.
Exactly. I'm not the real Kenny Omega. Hey, Steven Larson, book a heel Nakamura run when he turns heel and the reason why and who he feuds with.
I would want him to be...
I want to watch some of the stuff he did when he was the leader of Chaos.
Right, that's exactly what I was thinking.
He was a heel back
then. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'd have him start up sort of a heel faction.
Yeah.
Like a Chaos Day America. That's
yeah.
what I would have him do. But you're right, I'd like to watch enough of that stuff. Like, I've seen some of Finn Balor's heel stuff, and, you know, it was just Finn Balor, he was just acting like a... I'll have to show you some of his promos, man. God, they're so good.
Yeah, I want
to
check those out.
Because they're so different from anything he does now. Like,
yeah.
he's got so much life to him.
We got a question by him already.
Okay. Go down here. Let's see here. Oh, I like this one. Oh, okay. Well, another one from CM Punk finds himself.
Oh, that's probably the exact one I was going to read. Yeah, it was.
I thought you were going to. Okay. Well, I'm going to read it anyways. Here are your options. Neville versus Hiromu Takahashi, the ticking time bomb. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Aleister Black. The Elite versus The New Day. You're only allowed to see one of these matches and the other two will never happen. What match do you choose to see and why? And why is it The Elite versus The New Day? It has to be The Elite versus The New Day. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Knowing that that would be on the biggest stage of them all, then they would go all out. They would go all out. That'd be amazing.
Hamza Halal, do you think they want Cena versus Nakamura next week to be sort of a passing of the torch type deal?
No, not yet. No.
No. Wait, if they're going to do that, it's going to be at a major show.
Yeah. Oh, good question. Nicholas Grosskirth, we've been asking ourselves this. What's next for Becky and Charlotte? Is there really a chance that three of the four horsewomen won't find a spot at SummerSlam? Not a chance in hell, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
No clue. What's Sasha going to do?
I have no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
No idea. I mean, it kind of stands to figure it'd be maybe Nia Jax? But there's 3 weeks left.
I know.
There's 3 weeks of programming. I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Did you see the Instagram video that Nia Jax posted of her? And so there's like a running gag on, I think, Instagram where Mike Rome, they keep on, the club and Nia Jax keep on baiting him with the too sweet. And every time he goes for it, they pull the football away. You know, they do the Lucy thing.
Yeah.
And they call him a nerd and they laugh at him. It's great. So last night he storms up to them. They're like backstage or whatever. It's on Nia Jax's Instagram. And he starts ripping into him. He says, you know what? I'm tired of this. Every time you guys call me a nerd and I want apologies right now. So they all apologize and they throw up a too sweet. And then he goes up and they all pull it back. And Gallows laughs him off and calls him a nerd again. And it just got me thinking, I would love to see Nia Jax as the third member of the club.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great.
That would be good.
That'd be fantastic.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
The Nightcrawler, hey, Steven Larson, power rank the best spots in any and all matches this year.
Second rope pile driver.
Number one.
Number one through five. Second rope pile driver. I'll say number two, Michael Elgin's top rope razor's edge
from night one of the G1 special.
That was really good. I don't know. Those are the two that really stand out.
Yeah.
Everything that hurts from New Japan. Gene the Grappler says, usually I don't like to play devil's advocate, but in this case I'm going to go there. I don't like gender as WWE champ, but if it leads to somebody stepping up, then I will stomach it. So my question is, would the Singh brothers be possible candidates to get a tag title opportunity with the popularity of being associated with gender? Or do you think that the experiment with gender and the Singh brothers will end after SummerSlam and things kind of go back to normal? So I guess the question is, have the Singh brothers been elevated as a possible tag team because of Jinder Mahal? I would say that they might try to run with them as a tag team.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I could see that happening after Jinder loses the belt.
Right. I could see that as a possibility. I wouldn't put that in stone. I wouldn't bet on it.
No, absolutely not.
But I could totally see it. I'm glad I'm not the only one who... Matt Rusin, who says his official title's the Screw Attack Game Attack G1 Champion Dumpster Monkey Matt Rusin. We're fans of Game Attack, so
yes.
I'm going to give that a shout out. He says, is it just me or does Jinder Mahal sound like a late 90s, early 2000s bad video game voice actor? I was watching his promo tonight and that's all I could hear. Like the first year voice acting got added to WWE games. When he has his voice, I think he's great.
Yeah.
I think he's very intense.
Yeah, he is.
It's just for some reason he loses his voice a lot. It's weird.
Ty Dingleberry. Hey, friendos. So Ty Dingleberry's been watching a lot of 2002 SmackDown for all the high-quality action and have come to the conclusion that Edge versus Angle is one of the most underrated feuds ever. Delivered high-quality matches every time and had great moments and memories to look back on. What feuds from the past do you guys think don't get enough love?
Oh, wow. Great question. Lex Luger versus Ron Simmons circa 1991. I don't know. We just watched that at Halloween Havoc. Oh, I don't know. You know, it's funny. Everybody, whenever they talk about Steve Austin, they talk about Austin versus McMahon. But he had some really good stuff against, like, The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. Triple H.
He had some good stuff against Triple H. So that gets lost in the shuffle. I was just listening. I was telling this off camera. I just listened to a bunch of the Talk is Jericho with Dave Meltzer talking about Chris Benoit and his career. And obviously, you know, with the circumstances behind, you know, what he did, a lot of his stuff. And Jericho was talking about it. He's like, a lot of my best matches in WWE were with Chris Benoit. And whenever they release a DVD, none of those matches are ever on there.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, obviously a lot of Chris Benoit stuff for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I was going to mention Booker T, Chris Benoit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Trying to think of other ones. A lot of stuff like CM Punk stuff from before the pipe bomb sort of gets forgotten because of how good his run was after that.
Yeah.
So I'd go there too.
His match against Randy Orton at WrestleMania 27
mm-hmm.
is like the best match on the card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty decent match.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Chalupa Batman, I see Nakamura beating Cena, then beating Jinder at SummerSlam, but Corbin cashing in after he wins. If that happens, how would you book the rest of the WWE calendar leading into Mania? Let's assume this scenario takes place.
Okay.
Leaving SummerSlam, Baron Corbin beats or cashes in after Nakamura has won the title. So obviously that's going to lead to more Nakamura versus Corbin.
You know what? I think I'd be okay with that. It's something different.
Yeah.
Putting Corbin on the biggest stage with Nakamura, I'd say at that point Nakamura wins the Rumble and takes on Corbin at WrestleMania.
No, I think Nakamura gets the belt off Corbin before that.
Oh, you think so?
Because
you're not going to have Corbin walk into WrestleMania as a champion?
No, right. Especially if you can have AJ versus Nakamura at WrestleMania.
There you go. AJ, for the title. AJ wins the Rumble?
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that a lot. All right. Book it. Let's see here.
So let's say maybe at the Rumble,
mm-hmm.
Nakamura wins the title.
Oh, I got you. Okay. AJ wins.
So Corbin gets a good 4.5 month reign.
That's all he needs.
Yep.
That's good. Broken Jacob Omega says, do you guys ever see yourselves working with WWE in some capacity?
Like getting hired by them?
I assume so. Working with WWE in some capacity. I assume it means get hired by them or be contractors with them. No, I don't. I don't see that ever happening.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't see where that could happen.
Yeah, I don't either.
If the show blew up like a bunch more, would they ever approach it? I always joke about this because the idea of it is so, again, absurd.
Yeah.
And would be so surreal if they said, Steven Larson, we want you on the pre-show or the new host for Bring It to the Table.
Yeah.
Which is such an absurd idea.
It is.
But we have found ourselves in absurd situations before.
Yes.
So anything's possible. I think that'd be hilarious. Let's see here. You already answered that one. My goodness.
King of Hostile, Joshua the Dynamic Knight Martinez. Hey, friendos, what's your favorite put-together/odd tag teams? His was Eddie Guerrero and Batista. Stone Cold and Dude Love.
Yeah, there's a lot of Stone Cold. Stone Cold and HBK.
Yeah.
Well, The Rock, Mankind, I guess. That's like a kind of a classic one.
Yeah.
Sami
Zayn and Ty Dillinger.
Rhino and Heath Slater.
There you go.
Yeah. JC Flash says, first time patron here, so thank you for that. What are the chances Bayley wins at SummerSlam only to lose it to Carmella on a cash-in? I would love that. That would be out of the box right there.
It would be.
Chances are zero.
Well, I think it's clear that the Money in the Bank contract is for the SmackDown women's title. I believe
they said that it definitely is.
I don't believe they said either way, but that's the idea I've got.
Me too, but
no, I agree. It'd be a good out of the box idea.
Yeah.
Let's do one more. We can do mail.
Mono Bagjajian. I'm so sorry for me botching your name. Mono Bagjajian. Anyways, hey, Steven Larson, first time patron here. Been a fan
Thank
since
you.
The 10 for the win days and going in Raw. Help. What is 10 for the win? What are you talking about there? What is that?
Don't remember.
Ooh. Sorry. Going in Raw helped me get caught up with the wrestling world when I was started watching again and found around SummerSlam last year. My question is, where do you see, this is a good question, where does Randy Orton fit into SummerSlam?
Great Khali. I don't know what else.
Right.
I honestly don't know what else.
There's rumors that they want to use him for a couple matches. SummerSlam is the next pay-per-view.
Yes.
There are going to be matches on SummerSlam.
Randy Orton has to be on the card.
Orton. Let's open up some mail.
Yeah.
This is from, it's a letter from Mark Vesado. Oh, hi, Mark. Oh!
Nice!
Oh, that is awesome. We got ourselves some Okada bucks, some Okada dollars from Mark. Thank you so much. I am so excited about this.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's an amazing dollar, and it's worth $100,000.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. So it would only take two of these to get a two sweet from you, Lars.
That's true.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That is really cool.
Thank you so much.
That's fantastic.
This is from James Goodwin.
Look, we got our Chaos members over here. Shinsuke.
Danger and Dolan.
And Bokata. Danger Dolan. Oh, man. You fat bastards, fat asses. I don't like these fat asses or fat bastards. Look at Scott Steiner right there. Thank you so much. That is fantastic.
Thank you, James Dolan.
Oh, that's great. That is amazing.
That's so cool.
Well done, everybody. Fat asses, fat bastards.
I don't think it's going to...
Not going to stand up because I'm a fat ass.
Yeah. There you go. That'll do it for now. All right, time for trivia, Steve. Are you
there
ready?
There we go. All
right. Are you ready?
Wow.
You asked first.
All right. We're going to start with the Attitude Era.
Wait, you have Attitude? What do I have?
I have Attitude and Modern.
Why do I have Classic and...
What have you done? There's Attitude. Fat bass.
All right.
Fat ass.
Attitude, you say?
Fat ass.
Okay.
Ooh, did you see Steiner accidentally broke an indie wrestler's neck?
No.
Yeah. Cannon Grant sent it to me. Breaking some news on Snapchat, Cannon Grant is. All right. Number one. He's in bad shape, but he said he should make a full recovery within 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
Oof. Yeah.
Poor guy. How did it happen?
Miscommunication. I think it said something like the dude thought he was going to be taking a T-bone suplex, and there was something called, do you know what the complete shot is? I don't know what it is. I didn't watch, so there's like footage of it, and I don't watch that stuff.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore. Anyways, question one from the Attitude Era. What boxer faced Bart Gunn?
Butterbean.
In a brawl. I'm not done with the question. Butterbean.
From 2001 to 2003, on what network did the first three seasons of WWE's Tough Enough air?
That was MTV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Who did Stephanie McMahon defeat to win her only WWE Women's Championship in 2000?
Trish Stratus?
Jacqueline.
Damn.
Jacqueline.
Who did Hulk Hogan defeat at Backlash 2002 to win the Undisputed Championship, his sixth reign as WWE Champion?
Was that Triple H?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was the name of the tag team Eric Bischoff would use to end Raw matches and segments violently if he felt they went too long?
Wow.
That second clause there is key, if they went too long.
Does it have a year?
There's no year in it.
If they went too long. I don't know.
I think it was Rosie and Jamal, but it was a 3-minute warning.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've heard the name. When WWE split their roster into the Raw and SmackDown brands, who was Mr. McMahon's first pick in the 2002 draft for SmackDown?
I've got two choices on the tip of my tongue, but I'm going to say Kurt Angle.
The Rock.
Oh, okay. Who was chokeslammed to hell by The Undertaker during a Hell in a Cell match at SummerSlam 2008? Undertaker, Hell in a Cell match, SummerSlam 2008.
Kane?
Edge.
Damn. Not doing very well today.
Said that was his favorite feud.
Yeah. What superstar appeared in 13 consecutive Royal Rumble matches from 1999 to 2011?
Kane?
Yeah.
Okay. What two superstars won WWE tag team titles as both members of the Nexus and the Core?
Ted DiBiase. Do I need two people?
Two superstars. They were both members of Nexus and the Core, and they won WWE tag titles.
DiBiase and McGillicuddy.
No, Justin Gabriel and Heath Slater. Okay. I don't think DiBiase was ever a member of.
Oh, okay. You might be right. You're probably right.
What is the name? Oh, this is easy. What is the name of the tag team formed by?
Wait, no. I got to ask you a question. What superstar made history in June 2006 when he was both ECW champion and WWE champion simultaneously? Yeah.
Rob Van Dam. What is the name of tag team formed by Darren Young and Titus O'Neil?
Primetime Players.
That's right.
What are the names of the WWE Divas, the Bella Twins?
Oh, Nikki and Brie.
Yeah, Bella. So you got five.
Nice. Fat asses. Fat bastards. I got three fat bastards. Because of fat asses. Or is these WCW ones? Nice. I got Tommy Rich.
Nice. Thomas Rich.
Thomas Rich. I'm going to pick one at random. Oh, I see another WCW one here. I'm going to guess it's going to be either Flying Brian or Lex Luger. Oh, it's going to be Sting. I got Sting and Tommy Rich.
You get one more.
I got one more. I'm going to go deep into this one. No more WCW crap. Who's this right here? Ooh, this is a thick one. Who's that? Jamie Noble and his woman. What was her name again? Nydia. Nydia.
Oh, yeah, she was on Tough Enough, wasn't she?
She was the one. Oh, maybe. She was the one that Scott Steiner, like, backstage during it. Like, I think it was, like, one of his debut. Maybe it was a debut. I don't know. He was backstage, and, like, he was supposed to slap her on the ass.
Oh, yeah.
But he grabbed, like, the entire cheek and just, like, what? It was like, here, let me stick my middle finger in your beehole. What are you doing? Fat asses. Anyways, that's trivia. I dominated. I'm happy, man. We got our Okada Bucks. You guys can send us stuff. If you want to, P.O. Box 1814 Orange Vale, California 95662.
It's in the description of the video.
Yeah, that's true. It is. Absolutely. Anyways, that's it for now for Going In Raw. Patrons, stay tuned. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.